Job tonight. Amen. Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. We spent all day yesterday thanking the Lord. One year ago, yesterday, it took him off that ventilator. And God has blessed ever since.
Amen.
It's getting better and better and better and better. And he took his oxygen today.
Amen.
96.
Amen.
It's never been below that sin.
Hallelujah.
God's good.
Amen. 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 Certainly worthy to receive praise. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise is not out of order.
Amen.
All right, let's turn tonight, if you would, tonight for a few minutes. I'm not going to preach too long tonight, I don't think. And Jeremiah 31 tonight. Jeremiah 31. And we're going to read the first three verses there. I told you this morning that we were going to be in the wilderness all day. And we're still there tonight. And Jeremiah 31, verses 1 through verse 3 tonight. And the Bible said, "At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. They shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Thank you, and be seated. Our fathers, we come this evening, Lord, to pray. And Lord, we pray for that poor soul, Lord, that left tonight. We wish he'd stayed to hear the word of God, and we pray he will come back, Lord, at a better time maybe, and have mercy on him. God, as we come tonight, we ask you, Lord, to Lord, bless the preaching of the word of God, and Lord, help us as we wander around in this wilderness of a world. May God help us tonight and bless the people greatly that have come out. Thank you for the testimony we just heard, and just a reminder of God is good and worthy and greatly to be praised, Lord, and we thank you for that tonight. Lord, if there is someone tonight, Lord, with a need of salvation, I pray they'd get it to you. Lord, if there's someone tonight with a physical, mental, spiritual need of whatever kind, I pray the great physician might prescribe to them tonight just what they need. Lord, I bring these few things, Lord, place them in your hands. Lord, that few fish and loaves wasn't much of a meal till it got in God's hands. And I pray this will get in God's hands, that it might feed your people tonight. And we'll be careful to thank and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen and amen. These verses in their right context, if you have a Scofield Bible, I like the topics that Scofield puts in front of the chapters. And if you look at the topic in chapter 31, it says a summary of Israel in the last days. And so what we've read tonight has to do with Israel in the last days. But I think we can also draw some water from this well for our day today and for the church. And one thing we notice when we get to reading the Bible is we notice that much of the Bible has to do with the wilderness. When you go to reading that Old Testament, even over in the New Testament, you find out there's a lot of wilderness wandering there. You find Israel wandered 40 years in a wilderness. That we preached a little bit about that this morning, and they spent 40 years in the wilderness. We find that Moses was on the backside of the desert. Deserts and wildernesses were that God's people spend a lot of their time. And Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years when God spoke to him there. And even our Lord was led to the wilderness in Matthew 4 and verse 1. The Bible said that Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so tonight we have a lot of wilderness in our Christian life tonight. And I like these verses tonight, these three verses tonight. And they spoke to my heart. I hope they'll speak to your heart tonight. But we look here tonight. I want us to look at the wilderness and a place that is described. If you look in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9, if you wish to turn there, if you don't, I'll read it to you. But in Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9, the Bible said, "For the Lord's portion is his people. He found him in a waste, howling wilderness." How descriptive of the wilderness is those words. He found them in a waste, howling wilderness. This is where that God found us at. In the wilderness of this world that we now live in. Amen. When we think about the wilderness tonight, we think about a place of desolation. The Bible says, and we get a good picture of the wilderness over in Genesis 21. We look over there at a situation there that happened to Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid. And there's some verses there that are very descriptive of this place that we call the wilderness. In Genesis 21, the Bible said in verse 14, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he took bread and a bottle of water, and he gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept." When we read those verses tonight that has Hagar in the wilderness, we find that the wilderness is a place of desolation. It's a desolate place. The Bible said the water was spent. The Bible said she cast the child in under one of the shrubs. And so when we think of the wilderness, we think of desolation, hopelessness, despair, doom, agony. The Bible said that's what Hagar was. We see that it was also a place of death. The Bible said in verse 16, she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." Now, when we think about the wilderness, we don't think about roses blooming and fruit trees everywhere and a beautiful garden. When we think about the wilderness, we think about stuff that's dried up in a wilderness or desert, and it's dead, and there's not much life there, not much greenery there. That's what we think of when we think of the wilderness. But then we're talking about how it's described as a place of desolation, how it's described as a place of death, but it also is looked at as a place of danger. The Bible said in Genesis 21 and verse 17 that God spoke to Hagar, and he said to Hagar, "Fear not." In other words, for him to tell her to not fear, she must have been a-fearing. Amen. And when we think about the wilderness that we wander through in this world, this whole world's a desolate place. This whole world is a place of death. And this whole world is a place of danger. Paul said in the last days, perilous times would come. That word perilous, it simply means dangerous. You and I are living in dangerous times. We are probably living in the most dangerous times that we have ever lived in. Amen. We have to watch on every hand, keep our guard up in every way. I don't know if you heard the news or not, but they had a shooting today at Joel Osteen's church. And a little 5-year-old, a 6-year-old boy got shot, and that's about all they had out on it. But it just shows the kind of world that we're living in. It's a dangerous time, perilous time. And the wilderness is where you and I are. You get out there in the wilderness, there's all of these wild animals that they often had to face and often had to watch for. And so it is today in our life. But then I want you to see that the wilderness, as it is described as a place of death and danger and desolation, it's no marvel tonight that the wilderness is not a place that we desire. Amen. None of us like to be in the wilderness. We'd rather be in a beautiful garden. We'd rather be where there's life instead of where there's death. And when the Bible speaks about a wilderness or a desert, that's where we find ourselves sometimes in this world. Now, we don't desire to be in the wilderness. Is there anybody here tonight that says, man, I wish I was in the wilderness tonight? Brother Eddie's pointing at Steve, but not the kind of wilderness I'm talking about tonight. Amen. I mean, we're talking about a place of desolation and death. And really, there's not too much difference between the wilderness and the desert. And the Bible talks a lot about God's people being in both places. And nobody desires to go there tonight. Nobody, if you're there, you don't desire to stay there tonight. The reason being is because the wilderness is a place of loneliness. When we think about tonight in the Bible, I think about old Elijah, great prophet of God. And the Bible said in 1 Kings 19, the Bible said in verse 4 that Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. In other words, he was out there all by himself. You say, well, he desired to be out there. Yes, he did. He desired to be out there because he was depressed. He was discouraged, and he was afraid. And he wanted to be out there in the wilderness all by himself. But listen, God tells the first man in the Bible, it's not good for you to be alone. And all through the Bible, God lets us know that we need each other. Amen. I need the prayers of those I love while traveling over life's rugged way. And most of the time, the least I want to be around somebody is the time I most need to be around somebody. Amen. And Elijah went out there, and it must have been so lonely out there. When you think about the day before, he stood on Mount Carmel with 850 of the prophets of God. We find that Elijah spent a lot of his time alone out there by the brook Cherub. He was all alone. And so when we think about being out in the wilderness or out in the desert, we think about a place of loneliness. Amen. But not only we do not desire it because it's a lonely place, a depressing place, if you will. We do not desire to be there because it is an empty place. When we look in our Bible in Exodus 15, the Bible tells us there, and we quoted this verse this morning, but the Bible said, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, verse 22. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went out 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. In other words, an emptiness there. There was water there, but they couldn't drink it. It was an emptiness there. And when we think about the wilderness and being out there all alone and being in this wilderness of a world, a lot of times we don't want to be in the wilderness because of the emptiness that we find there, the emptiness of our own heart, the emptiness of provision, supplies that's needed. And it's not a place that we desire to be. But not only that, the wilderness is a hard place. When we look again in Exodus 15, 16, the Bible says, and they took their journey from Elim. Now, Elim's a good place. I preached about it this morning a little bit. Elim had 12 wells. Elim had 70 palm trees. I'd rather be there than be in the wilderness. Amen. I'd rather be there where there's 12 wells than where there's no water. I'd rather be there where there's shade. 70 palm trees. I'd rather be there than in a wilderness where everything's dead and there's no shade and there's no life. I have no desire to be in a place like that. You say, why? Because the wilderness is a hard place. It's a hard place. And the Bible said they took their journey from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Can I say right there? Can I stop right there? Put it up in park just a minute. Can I tell you that I have had times where that maybe there was one murmuring and complaining. I've had times where there might be two murmuring and complaining. I've had times where there might be 10 murmuring and complaining. But glory to God, I've never had a time when all the people were complaining and murmuring. What a terrible thing that must have been for Moses and Aaron there in the wilderness. Amen. I mean, they got enough problems. Listen, when you get in the wilderness, you got enough problems. You don't need somebody complaining, adding a bunch more to what you already got. Amen. The Bible said the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Watch verse 3. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Well, God could have obliged them with that. But you see, when they were down there in Egypt, they wasn't saying they wanted to die. They were praying that God would lead them out. And the Lord led them out. I read this week, and I wish I'd wrote it down. I didn't, but I read this week that when the children of Israel came down and they were backed up against the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army was headed their way, and the Red Sea was behind them. Moses, he didn't know what to do. God said, Moses, stand still see the salvation of the Lord. Moses stood still, and God parted that Red Sea. Now they say there were in the neighborhood of 1 million people or more that was there that day when they crossed the Red Sea. I'd never thought about this before until I read this. But it says there that they all went across in one night. 1 million people went across in one night, or 1 million and more went across in one night. The fellow said for that to take place, God would have had to open the Red Sea 5 to 10 miles, and they would go across at many abreast to get by there in one night. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I'm glad that God can open it up all the way, that 1 million people can go across through the Red Sea. And I'm glad that that same God is your God and my God tonight. And I'm glad when we're backed up against a wall and see the devil coming, I'm glad that our God can make a way for us to go through. Amen. I say glory to God tonight. And the Bible said the children of Israel said, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by flesh pots, you did, I thought you were making bricks. And when we did eat bread to the full, you did. For ye have brought us forth unto this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." They're saying, "God, we wish we had never even started on this journey." Amen. I'll tell you one thing. I've had some trouble along the way and some hard knocks along the way, and I've had some thoughts of this and some thoughts of that, but never in my life have I said, "God, I wished I'd never started on this journey. I wished I'd never got saved. I wished I'd never answered the call." No, sir. The best life that I've ever had is living for God. I tell you, God is a good God tonight. Bless His name. That wilderness way is a lonely way. That wilderness way is an empty way. That wilderness way is a hard way. But here's my message tonight. And I ain't going to be long in telling it. But oh, I love verse 2. And the Bible said, "Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Have you ever found something really good in a really bad place? Have you ever found something you wasn't expecting to find in a place like that? God said that they found grace in the wilderness. Oh, praise God. I ought to stop right now. We just shouted out the rest of the service. I'm glad that we can find grace in the wilderness. Amen. Yes, this world's a wilderness and we live in a wilderness. But oh, praise God. Even amidst a place of loneliness and danger and desolation and death, I'm glad that we can find grace, thank God, in the wilderness. The Bible says, I love it. Go back to Exodus 16. And they're talking about finding grace in the wilderness. And while you're finding that, let me just say this. That old Hagar, you know what she found in that place of death and desolation? She found a God that cared. She found a God that cared about what was hurting. He said, "What aileth thee, Hagar?" Can I tell you that man Elijah that ran out there into the wilderness he went out there and was hoping that he'd die out there. He wasn't suicidal. He was just praying that God would kill him. He went out there and he was expecting to find death. But you know what he found? He got out there in the wilderness and he found a curse of water, an angel food cake, amen, and a God that cared for him and loved him was watching over him and was going to take care of him. I say praise God, amen. I'm glad that we can find good stuff in the wilderness. You see, we get over in Exodus 16 where I told you to go. And the Bible says in Exodus 16 and verse 4, this is after these people murmured and complained that God was going to kill them, God was going to starve them to death. And then in verse 4, then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not." You see, they were out there murmuring and complaining. They didn't deserve bread. They didn't deserve anything from God. But you know what they found out there in the wilderness? They found grace in the wilderness, amen. And God said, "I'm going to give you your daily bread." God said, "I'm going to give you a daily provision," amen. I'm glad that we serve a God that tells you and tells me to get up every morning and get in our closet and say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Amen. I'm glad God's got a provision for us even when we're in the wilderness. I'm glad God's got grace for us. I'm glad God's got love for us. I'm glad God's got mercy for us. I'm glad that among all those things in the wilderness that are undesirable, I'm glad that we can find grace in our wilderness. Praise God. Hallelujah. God provided their needs. Look at Exodus 13 and verse 18. Exodus 13 and verse 18. And the Bible said, they're in the wilderness, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Look at verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire. You know what that's saying? That's saying that not only did they find a daily provision in the wilderness, they found a divine presence. Amen. There was a God that was leading them all the way. Amen. I'm following the one who knows the way. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I'll never stray. He goes the way before me, and my Lord, He makes no mistakes. I'm following the one who knows the way. Aren't you glad tonight, glory to God, that we're following the one that knows the way through the wilderness? If it wasn't for that, we'd be walking around in circles just like the children of Israel did. Hey, did you notice this morning in our wilderness scripture this morning, the Bible said, and that rock followed them. In the Old Testament, the rock followed them. In the New Testament, we follow the rock.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad that He leads the way. You say, Brother Rick, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which way to go. He'll show you which way to go. He leads the way. His divine presence will help you to get out of the wilderness tonight. And I say, glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I see here that the wilderness is not only a place described and a place not desired, but it's a place of discovery. See, they found some things in the wilderness they never did think they was going to find out there. They wasn't even looking for it. But the kind of God that we serve, He gave them divine provisions. He gave them His divine presence. You see, Hagar, she found a God that cared out there in the wilderness. You know what Moses found out there in the wilderness? Moses found himself. And Moses found God. And Moses found out who God was. He didn't know who God was till he got out there in the wilderness. And Abraham, and Moses said, God, who are you? And God said, I am that I am. Amen. God said, I am. Amen. I'm glad. Listen, sometimes God puts us in the wilderness that we can find out who God is. Who God is. Moses, Jesus, He went out in the wilderness. You see, when we go to the wilderness, it's not only so we can see that our God will give us daily provisions. It's not only so that we can find the divine presence. That our God is not only a God of the mountaintop, but our God is a God of the valley. But you see, when God lets us go through the wilderness, it is for a divine purpose. It is for a divine purpose. You see, God put Moses in the wilderness so that Moses in the wilderness 40 years. Children of Israel wandered around in the wilderness 40 years. Someone said that number 40 in the Bible is a time of testing. Amen. And it seems to be that way. And Moses was out there 40 years, but it was worth every day. He found out who God was. He found out what God could do. Did you know that God spoke to Moses in the wilderness in a way that He never spoke to Moses before? Through a burning bush. Desert, wilderness. Those bushes would roll across. You've seen them on these old Western movies. Them bushes would roll across the desert with the wind. And it was not any surprise. It was not any miracle to see a bush burning in the desert. But what the miracle was to see a bush burning that was not consumed.
Amen.
God spoke to Moses out of that bush like God had never spoke to Moses before. You'll hear God in the wilderness. You'll hear God out there in that lonely place, that desolate place, that desert place. You'll hear God out there more than you will in the everyday, normal, up on the mountaintop life. God had Moses in the wilderness because he had something to say to him. God had Jesus to be led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness.
Amen.
To be tested. God doesn't tempt anybody to evil. The Bible said in James, God said, He doesn't tempt, let no man say I'm tempted of God, for God don't tempt men to evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed and so forth and so on. God don't tempt man to evil, but God does test men. He tested Abraham in Genesis 22. He tests everybody that's a child of God. If you've got faith, I want to tell you something. It's got to be tested. Because you don't know if you've got any or how much you've got or if what you've got's any good until it's tested. Until it's tested. It's got to go in the fire. 1 Peter 1 and 7. The trial of our faith being more precious than gold, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing. In other words, God tests our faith. Jesus went out there and was tested by the Lord, tempted by the devil, and you know what? His faith was pure gold, amen. I'm telling you, Job said, when I'm tried, he said, I'll come forth as gold, Job said. Oh yes, God has a divine purpose when He puts us in the wilderness. Hey, I'm glad, even though they were there 40 years, they wasn't there forever. Even though Moses was on the backside 40 years, he wasn't there forever. Aren't you glad that though we have to go to the wilderness, aren't you glad that God don't leave us there forever? Amen. And then, you probably never think about this fellow being in the desert, in the wilderness. But over in Acts 8, old Philip's down there. He's downtown Jerusalem. Man, they're having a great meeting. Verse 26 said, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. Go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. Watch it, which is a desert. God sometimes puts us in a desert. And He puts us there for a divine purpose. When you're going through the wilderness, people are watching you go through that wilderness. And the Bible said that Philip went down, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and she had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? God's got Philip over there in the desert to help a fellow that needs help. This fellow can't understand. God wants to get him saved, but he can't get saved because he can't even understand the Bible. And so God sends Philip over there. Sometimes God puts us in our deserts and our wildernesses because there's somebody over there God wants us to talk to.
Amen.
Brother, you experienced that, you and your wife, over at the Louisville Hospital when you were over there last year. Y'all were there. What a desert. What a wilderness. Oh, what grace God put on you two. Now, my wife talked about it many a night, health problems and your age and having to go through what you went through. And we said, God's given them grace. They found grace there in that wilderness. And there were several people over there, practically an everyday occurrence, that they were talking to people over there in their wilderness.
Amen.
About God.
Amen.
You see, David had to be in the hospital, but it wasn't all about David. God knew what he was going to do with David. We didn't know. We worried. We prayed. We didn't know. But God knew. God knew before the ambulance ever pulled in the ER, God knew he was going to bring David out of there. God knew that. But there came a day. There came a day in many days when they had opportunity to witness for the Lord or say something for the Lord. And no doubt some of them nurses, it just had to be that some of them nurses or some of them people in the waiting room said, have you seen them people? They're boys in there. He's on life support. He's really bad. And they're talking to me about my family. They're talking to me about Jesus. You see, God had them there for a purpose. A lot of times we don't realize that. I failed in situations like that. I remember being in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was up there at the hospital, the heart center, and I'd went up there with one of our members, and there were three of us in the third floor waiting room. There was me, there was a young lady, and there was an elderly black lady sitting over in the corner. And in a little while, we all sat there about 3 hours, and a little while, the door opened and the doctor come out, and I knew he was a doctor, a surgeon, because he had on the little cap and the surgical shoes and the gloves. And he came out and he walked over there and he knelt down to that young lady. And I couldn't hear what he said to her, but whatever he said, she erupted in sobs. Great sobs. You could feel it over the whole room. I was as far away as the front door, but I could feel that lady's pain. And the Holy Ghost said, go over there and pray with her. I said, Lord, I don't know that lady. I don't know what the doctor told her. I'm sitting there arguing with the Lord. Just about the time I was going to give in and do it, that elderly black lady got up. And she went over across the room there and she got down on her knees and she took that lady's hands in her hand and she said, honey, child, it's going to be all right. Jesus is going to take care of you. Boy, she stole my blessing that day. She gave me one, but she stole mine. But there we are in that wilderness. And sometimes God's got you there. And the best thing you can do when you're in a wilderness sometimes is forget about yourself. God's going to get you out of it. Start focusing on somebody else that God puts along your pathway in the wilderness. Amen. Well, you know the story. The Bible said the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. And then it talking about Jesus. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That eunuch would have never got saved. If Philip hadn't went to a desert place. The children of Israel would have never got let out if Moses hadn't spent 40 years on the backside of a desert in a wilderness place. Hagar and her baby would have died there if God hadn't showed mercy. You say, what are you saying, Brother Rick? Oh, listen, I want you to get this verse. Please mark it in your Bible. Please circle it. Please yell it in. Do whatever. Put arrows pointing to it. In verse 2, and the Bible said, thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. When you leave tonight, I hope I hope written on you the tablet of your heart tonight is I can find grace in the wilderness.
Amen.
I can find grace in the wilderness. Father, I come to you tonight. I thank you for this verse.